She's in the studio, not the lollipop lady, but the jelly bean lady. Hello, Loretta.
Hello, how are you today, Steve?
I'm doing very well indeed. We're going to talk about obesity.
That's right.
Thank you very much for that. I might learn something here and lose some weight. The person with whom we're going to have a chat is Professor Leslie Campbell, and let's have a look at her impressive bio. She's a Principal Research Fellow, Diabetes and Metabolism Research Program, Garvan Institute, Professor of Medicine, University of New South Wales, Director of Diabetes Centre, St Vincent's Hospital, Sydney, Senior Staff Specialist, Department of Endocrinology. I don't think she has enough titles.
Yes, more degrees than a thermometer.
Absolutely. Imagine the business card. Well, here she is. And let's have a little chat. It's straight to Professor. Hello, Professor.
Hello, Steve.
How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
We were just marvelling at your wonderful qualifications. How do you fit that all on your business card?
Oh, look.
Takes up a whole line.
Just small printing. It's okay.
We're going to have a talk about obesity tonight. How many Australians suffer obesity?
Well, it's easier probably to tell you in a percentage, really, because it's about 60 or a bit over 60% of us, so two-thirds of us, if you want to think of it that way, are overweight or obese, and it's rising as we speak.
Good grief. That is amazing. What is the major contributing factor?
Well, this is a hard one. It's probably, I've just come about a week or two ago from debating this. It's a hot topic. I like to put it this way, before we start making accusations, we have good genes for survival, and that's what predisposes us to having this, because most of man's history is full of starvation. So the ones who've survived are the ones who have good genes for putting on fat.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put us into an environment full of plenty of food and no exercise. And what happens?
Yes.
So what would you say is the predisposing thing? It's the environment, I suppose, but it wouldn't happen if we weren't carrying these really fantastic genes for survival, and not everyone carries them. But
so we can blame our parents, that sounds good, or can we blame the government?
Oh, you can blame the government, don't worry. It's all the government's fault.
Everything is. It's a conspiracy.
It is, because they don't let us run about freely. They've put us in front of our computers or our desks, and they're making us work longer and longer hours. I was saying only to Loretta a little bit earlier, a few days ago, that I was told when I was quite a lot younger that I was going to have too much leisure time. What happened, Steve?
You've become more busy than you ever... Oh, that's terrible. Busier than you were before.
We were fooled about that,
yes,
weren't we?
Yes, indeed. Now, Loretta is with us here in the studio, of course, being the jelly bean lady. We posed the question to you, what goes on at the Garvan Institute, apart from lots of cups of tea and don't eat those donuts because you'll become obese?
You want to know about our research work?
Yes.
That's right, yes.
Well, we look at the problems both of obesity and of the diseases consequent to obesity. So we have people who are looking at appetite and what causes or inhibits appetite. So we've got some people looking at both human disease but also lots of little mice and rats with interesting disorders. We look at mice who've got genes that have been knocked out or knocked in. We also look at the consequences of too much fat or fat in the wrong place, which is diabetes. So we look at diabetic humans or pre-diabetic humans or animals again. So again, we study animals a lot of the time to look at what happens when there's too much fat or it's in the wrong place. So a lot of activity trying to sort out what are the genes and what are the factors that cause obesity or diabetes.
Oh, wow.
Your children seem to be having more weight problems today than they did in the past. What are we doing wrong? Because, I mean, it's... not good to instill into a child, you know, the fast food ethic, but a lot of people, as we mentioned earlier, are getting busier and busier. How do you sort of prevent that? Or
well, you can blame the government, I suppose.
Well, exactly, yes.
And I do think it's very hard because almost every disease anybody suffers from, people blame mothers, don't they? And I'm really against that because I think it is very difficult. So I think we do have to try to change society, and we do have to give kids back the chance to run about and play. And in fact, we don't. We're trying to make them work harder at school, give them, you know, a much more intense load of intellectual activity and less play. And we call ourselves the sporting nation, but we only want kids who are top, isn't it? And we send the other kids to the side.
That's right.
Sidelines. And I'm very against that too. So I think we want kids who hang up and upside down in trees and things, and, you know, things like I used to do when I was a kid aren't in anymore. So I think we have to rethink physical activity and sporting activity. Certainly we have to do the things that everybody's calling for about food advertising. I'm afraid a lot of sponsorship now of things is by big food companies, isn't it? So we need to think about that, and that again, we do need some government support there, because it is something that may not be possible without government support.
Well, that's right. They need to legislate such a thing. Something that I have a note here, Loretta's written, antidepressants. A lot of folk who take antidepressants as a result or as a side effect tend to put on weight. Why so?
Well, it is a side effect of the drugs, and I think it is one of the problems. We live in a very stressed society anyway. And, of course, depression is something that's recognised more. At least we know that it's a problem, so there's nothing wrong with treating it. But we must recognise that weight gain is a side effect, and even it's a side effect of the very good drugs for any psychotic disease. So now we know that some of the poor people who have schizophrenia and so on, those drugs too cause weight gain. It is part of quite a few drugs. I might as well add in, which we haven't talked about before, corticosteroid drugs that are given for a lot of diseases now. Miraculous drugs for treating really serious diseases, weight gain. Unfortunately, the drugs we treat diabetes with, side effect, weight gain. You have this balance that you often treat people.
Yeah.
That you pay the price.
There's the paradox there, because diabetes, obesity can lead to diabetes, but the medication you give for diabetes can lead to obesity.
Exactly. And I really, one of my points tonight, I think, is to make a statement that we often are quite nasty to people about their weight gain.
We are indeed. If you could hold the line there, Professor, we'll take a little break and we'll come back on 13 13 32 and talk more about obesity. Our guest online is Professor of Medicine at the University of New South Wales. Her name, of course, is Professor Leslie Campbell, and we'll talk more. And our guest, of course, is the Jelly Bean Lady. Yes, she always is on a Saturday night. A little break and back with more.
Steve Andrews on Brisbane's News Talk 1116.
4BC. And in the studio with me is Loretta, who is also known as the Jelly Bean Lady. And online, we have the pleasure of chatting with Professor Leslie Campbell, who is talking about obesity, one of her pet subjects. And we'll go back to you, Professor Leslie Campbell. And Loretta, you have a question for
me. Oh, yes,
Professor.
I have. Up here in Queensland, we have Nature's Own Factory, and out the door comes Nature's Own, Synovus, Golden Glow, Bioorganics, Natural Nutrition, Vitelli. And if you look up the main website, you find that they own Terry White, Chemmart, The Medicine Shop, and Health Sense Pharmacy. Now, I go into my local pharmacy, and I see things like Fat Blaster, OptiSlim, Reducey Carb, all these incredible products that make, you know, we can lose weight with them, detox. And then I go to the Therapeutic Goods Administration complaints, to find they've had 20 plus complaints against them. Does that disappoint you that the pharmacists are pushing all this quackery?
Oh, yes. Look, really, Loretta, it's a really tragic thing. Do you know that people with this terrible weight problem we have spend $50 million a year that we know about, probably a lot more, on useless weight loss products?
Terribly sad.
And as I say, you know, we worry about how much people need to spend on drugs. That's a problem, on useful drugs. What a terrible thing that people waste their money on these things. And what a terrible thing that pharmacists who've had training are pushing these awful things. And, I mean, just to take one, detox. There's this terrible thing that human beings seem to think that their bodies are full of toxins. What are these toxins? What is it all about? You know, do they really think that if we didn't do something, our bodies would become clogged with toxins? I mean, it's almost a joke, but sadly,
we'd be
it's not.
Dead,
we'd be dead if we didn't. Do we really think we have to vacuum our bodies or something? I mean, it is too much, Loretta. Too much.
What if one was a very heavy drinker? Would there be a need to, say, cleanse the liver, or does the liver do that automatically?
Steve, if the liver weren't a brilliant organ doing its own detoxing, that is, you know, working on these things by itself, we would die, you know, after a heavy party.
So it's not only...
Goodness me.
It's not only alcohol that goes to the liver as poison. There's other bits and pieces that we eat.
Every day, the liver takes care of everything, nutrients, drugs, anything you like, and delivers it into the bile and detoxifies it. And the kidney, of course, is notorious for the same sort of thing. You don't have to think about it. It's done. Now, this sort of toxin, and of course the bowel, you know, people like to think of it as some murky sort of thing that has to be vacuumed out or, even worse, washed out. No, it doesn't. So, of course, this is what they play on. And to think that pharmacists put these products out front and sell them for quite expensive prices, you know.
No, they say they don't sell them. We had a high-profile pharmacist on the radio here, and he said, I don't sell those products, Loretta. I put them on the shelf, and you can buy them if you want. That's not the same thing, is it?
Oh,
to which I replied, yes, it is. And I went off about Harvey Norman and his TV sets and guarantee. I was quite worried that he had that attitude. And he said, well, you can always talk to the pharmacist. And I said, no, you can't. I said, you've got to climb over two cash registers with a naturopath hanging off your leg who's trying to sell you some of this quackery to get to them because they're so overworked. So I even said to some of the pharmacists, I said, why are you selling this stuff and it doesn't work? Mm-hmm. And one of them said, it's got nothing to do with me. I'm locum. Talk to the girls.
Mm. Mm.
And the other
would
said,
they admit that it doesn't work?
They admit it. They'll admit it if you... Because these are... These are science people, and they know what works and what doesn't. And there are some things that work, aren't there?
Well, there are. They do sell. There are two drugs that have been tested on thousands, you know, 40,000 or more people. There are two weight loss drugs sold in pharmacies, one that doesn't need a script, you know, Xenical, it's called Xenical, that's without a script. Reductyl is sold, but it needs a script. Both of those can be purchased, and they're the only ones, although I noticed there's another drug that sounds like Xenical, which is being sold again, that's meant to look like it, which is, of course, again, a useless preparation. So, again, put there to confuse. So I'm very disappointed in our fellow professionals that these things are on the counters.
Well, it may be legally right, but to me it's not morally right, because the times you go into your pharmacist is when you're not well and you're so vulnerable you'll try anything.
Mm. And, of course, I think, again, this is the thing about guilt. This is a very emotional area, weight loss. There aren't many disorders where everyone can look at you and tell that you've got it, and of course that's what weight is, and people put a lot of blame on it. People feel guilty when they've failed with weight loss.
Yeah, let's talk about losing weight, it crosses all socioeconomic boundaries, doesn't it?
It does, but weight problems are greatest in the lowest socioeconomic group.
Why would that be?
Well, there are several things, but I think it's one of the problems is, of course, the ability. I suppose it's easier to get a trainer when you're in the higher socioeconomic areas, and of course, food. I mean, the best nutritional food is possibly sometimes more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, in some places, that's true. And again, working conditions so that you can have time for exercise and relaxation, again, is easier in the higher socioeconomic areas. So again, all those things tend to be a worldwide trend.
But that's certainly no excuse, though, is it? I mean, it's the reason, or a reason, for some in the lower socioeconomic bracket, but it's certainly no excuse. If you're really determined to lose weight, you can do it.
Ah, yes, but as I said, you see, I think the genetics make it very difficult. The reason that some ethnic groups have this problem, again, is genetic again, too. You see, some groups who have been islanders, Aboriginals, those who have low socioeconomics are the ones who have the greatest problems, because they're the ones who have had the greatest difficulty in over these hundreds and thousands of years with starvation. And they're the ones who've actually got the most survival genes.
And certainly Indigenous peoples are more likely to develop diabetes.
Diabetes, exactly.
We've just got one last quick caller for you. Margot at Wynnum, hi.
Hi. I'd just like to know, how do you spell the name of the drug that you get from the doctor that you need a script for weight loss?
Well, you can get both scripts for both, but Reductil, R-E-D-U-C-T-I-L.
R-E-D-U-C-T-I-L,
Reductil.
Yes.
And the doctor has to check that your blood pressure's all right and you're healthy enough. That's Reductil.
Yes.
And Xenical is the one that the pharmacist can check you over for over the counter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for your call, Margot. A lot of interest out there, and I guess as you've been mentioning, and certainly it's been the focal point of your life, Professor, and that is why is it so, as Professor Julius Sumner Miller would say.
At what point do we go to lap band surgery?
Well, at the moment, that's an interesting point. The Australian group in South Australia have just published lower criteria for lap banding, but usually it's been set at what we call a body mass index, about 35, so moderately severe overweight, but certainly it's extremely successful, lap banding or gastric bypass. So surgery is very successful.
I think it's about $9,000.
Exactly. We don't
have
to.
Do you get any money back from Medicare?
Not much.
Oh. You're doing that on Monday.
It's a big step, but very successful. But South Australia's reported doing it for less severe obesity and having a very good result.
Oh, that's good.
So, but what I promise you is that I really make the prediction that we are in the early stages of therapy. I'm not as old as all that. Pretty old now, but I remember the old days of high blood pressure treatment when we didn't have much treatment for high blood pressure and people used to die of it. Now it's a very easily treated disorder. Over the 25 years that I've been, or more, that I've been in practice, multiple drugs have come. We now treat it with three or four drugs and the GPs just treat it as a mild condition. That will happen with obesity.
Oh, that's
Professor,
fantastic.
Time has beaten us. We do thank you so much for your time tonight. And thank you for being with us.
Pleasure.
And we'll catch up with you another time.
Thank you.
Bye for now. That was Professor Leslie Campbell, the University in New South Wales.
Now,
quickly,
if you want to see me on the computer, put in Jelly Bean Lady. There's a conference I did a presentation at down at Bond University, and it's all there in all my jelly bean glory.
And there's a warning. Some scenes may offend.
That's right. There's spiders and snakes and jelly beans and magnets and the whole lot.
Good on
and
you.
The website, healthinformation.com.au.
News and weather in a moment.